Judge Jeanine Pirro.
She's the outspoken host.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is dominating the headlines right now.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation presents the Judge Jeanine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome, everyone, to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. I hope everyone is enjoying their day so far. It is a beautiful day here in New York City, and as always, we are armed and ready to serve justice no matter where it takes us with all my great listeners here on the Red Apple Audio Network. But you know, I got to tell you, there is, as I do this every Sunday, reviewing what's happened, there's so much that's happened in America this week. Joe Biden continues to suffer enormous losses in his approval rating. And, you know, there is one group that the Democrats have always been able to rely on, and that group is the Hispanics and African Americans. Well, right now, Joe Biden has lost more than 20 points with African Americans. Very, very unusual, folks. It's no surprise. And with the Hispanics, so that's a surprise. But I guess when you look at it, the economy matters, irrespective of what your nationality is, irrespective of what your voting background is or nationality or any of that nonsense. The truth is everybody is worried about the economy and Joe Biden ain't doing us any favors. So this week, he managed to further infuriate the Hispanics. And this may not be number one on your radar, but it is on a lot of people's radars. He lifted Cuban and Venezuelan sanctions. Now, that has been tremendously criticized by the Hispanic voters. Many of them came here because they fled the very types of regimes that Biden and his progressive lefties want to install here. You know it, the socialist regimes. So you look at the Hispanic Americans, and what they're saying is they want the United States to be tough on Castro, to be tough on Maduro, and not reward them with one-sided concessions, which is what a wimp usually does, and that's what Biden is doing. Joe is showing his affinity to these socialist regimes, which will ultimately damage his party in November, which is well-deserving. Joe is literally bolstering socialist regimes in Havana and Caracas. And for those of you who say, well, maybe we're going to get some gas from Venezuela, you know what? Let's not go there, although I will in a couple minutes. But what else happened in America? Well, the Democrats are stalling legislation to protect the Supreme Court justices while the abortion protesters are going crazy outside of their homes. And you know, because I've said this before, there is a federal law that outlaws any protest or any kind of marches outside of the home of a Supreme Court justice where the intent is to try to get them to change their position or influence or impact their decisions. And, some of these justices have small children. And what's going on outside their homes is a nightmare. But Joe Biden and Merrick Garland, no, they'd rather go after parents who are concerned about what their kids are being taught in school. Joe Biden and Merrick Garland would rather call parents domestic terrorists than even deal with and enforce a law that's already on the books, which makes it a federal offense, punishable by up to 1 year in jail, to do what is happening now in front of Supreme Court justices' homes. It is a nightmare as the left goes ballistic. And you have to wonder and say to yourself, you know, they claim that everything that's going on is an affront to democracy, that democracy is being damaged. But the truth is the Supreme Court has said, hey, we're not saying if it's legal or illegal. We're going to leave it up to the people. We'll leave it up to the states and let the states decide. That is, my friends, the essence of democracy and what it is. So, you know, what we're seeing now are people who are suffering because Joe Biden and his Department of Justice are trying to decide what really is criminal and what isn't. But, you know, I mentioned when we talked about the lowering of sanctions on Venezuela and Cuba and the energy secretary this week in an appearance before Congress refused to admit that Joe Biden is in any way responsible for what we have now, which are the highest gas prices in American history. She is refusing to take any responsibility, and they're blaming Putin. Oh, this is all Putin's fault. But what they don't say is that there was a continuous upward tick from the time Joe Biden took over as president, whether it was a halting of leasing programs in Anwar, or, you know, whether it was a 60-day halt on all new oil and gas and drilling permits, or directing federal agencies to eliminate support for fossil fuel, or shutting down the XL Keystone pipeline. And, you know, Jennifer Granholm, oh, she's really prepared for this position, like all most of his cabinet secretaries. She says, what that I had a magic wand to create gas. I mean, really, it's laughable. It really is. And the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial continues, with Amber Heard looking worse and worse as time goes on. Johnny Depp appearing to be the guy who is a victim of domestic violence. And take it from me, I started the first domestic violence unit in the nation as a young prosecutor in 1978. I know this issue. I know when people are claiming to be victims when they're not. And I know that clearly Amber Heard, as she testifies, has lied several times. And as a judge, I have said this too. My juries, if you find that a witness has lied once, you are free to determine that all of their testimony is not credible. And of course, she said, well, you know, I have donated $7 million of my divorce settlement to the ACLU and I think to a children's hospital. And under cross-examination, she had to admit she didn't either. And that's someone who's trying to puff themselves up as a really great person. So, folks, there's a lot that happened in America, but today we're going to be talking about all of that. I'll be taking your calls. We're going to gavel out with my closing arguments. It's all coming up in just a few moments here on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show. Never forget, join the Tunnel to Towers Foundation on its mission to do good in honor of America's heroes. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. And up next on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show, we will be speaking with Frank Gaffney about the grid. You know, summer's coming up, and a lot of people have been warning us for a lot of years that our electric grid is not what we think it is. Coming up right here on the Red Apple Audio Network.
This is the Judge Jeanine Show. This is the Judge Jeanine Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Bureau.
Welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show. Joining us now is the executive chairman for the Center of Security Policy. I want you to join me in welcoming Frank Gaffney to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show. Welcome to my good friend, Frank Gaffney. Frank, it's good to talk to you. You and I first started talking, Frank, about the grid. I'll bet it was 10 years ago, the electric grid. Has anything changed in 10 years, Frank?
Yes, ma'am. The problem's gotten worse. Mm. In fact, Judge, we had a fascinating hour and a half long or so program in the state capital of Texas earlier this week, in which men you've interviewed before and a great national leader, Texas State Senator Bob Hall, convened a really distinguished panel to talk about what's going on, how serious the problem is today, how urgent it is that we correct the vulnerabilities of our electric grid, and specific things that we can do about it. And what made it particularly exciting, Judge, is that one of the things that was a feature of this conversation was a premiere of a powerful new documentary called Grid Down, Power Up, that's been produced by a friend of mine by the name of David Tice, And it's going to get a serious release. I believe Dennis Quaid does the narration of it. And it Fantastic. Pulls together all the things you and I have been talking about most of this decade in a way that I think is going to really galvanize people to understand we cannot delay any further the kind of corrective action that's needed, not least because what's made it worse, and as we know, in the intervening years, every enemy of this country has come to realize this is the most elegant, efficient, and frankly, simple way to take down their greatest adversary, namely us. So it's just a matter of time. And even if it weren't the case that they know that and they could use everything from sabotage to cyber warfare to electromagnetic pulse attack to
okay,
do
Frank,
it.
Frank, okay, the electric grid. What exactly is it? I mean, it's a balkanized system of electricity that has not really been, it's not up to date. It's old and it can be taken down with very little effort by our adversaries, correct?
Sadly so. I mean, look, some of it is more modern than others, but the thing that really is so problematic about it is, as you say, balkanized is a neat word for it. It's something that we built like, you know, Topsy. It just grew from a couple of electrified neighborhoods into a nationwide entity that is simply not resilient because nobody ever thought to make it resilient. They focused on
Why
reliability, and it's pretty reliable.
You would think that they would want to make it reliable. Whose job is it to make sure that the electric grid doesn't break down for any one of the three reasons you mentioned? And so that we, because they're right now warning of rolling blackouts across the United States this summer.
Yes, they are. And this is the problem. The grid has been optimized for reliability. We want it to work when we go and turn on the switch, right? We want to make sure that there aren't brownouts or blackouts. And the trouble with making that the sole focus is that we have basically failed at every turn to take the steps that are required to ensure that if something purposeful by, again, a hostile power is taken against us. Or as I started to say, Janine, I'm sorry for talking over you, but there is this other problem that even if none of our enemies try to do this to us, the sun is going to do it at some point. It's just a matter of time. There's a naturally occurring phenomenon called geomagnetic disturbances. It's a fancy term for basically solar flares. And when they are aimed directly at Earth, they are roughly every 150 years. We get exposed to something that's a lot like that electromagnetic pulse that a nuclear weapon would give off, a vastly powerful surge of electricity that fries. You know, grid components, transformers, electric lines, SCADA systems, what have you, that haven't been protected against it. And that last time, the last big geomagnetic disturbance took place was 1859.
Right.
So
right.
Do the math.
Remember that.
We're overdue. We're overdue.
Frank,
so this is
Frank
the good
Gaffney.
News is there are things we can do about it. Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What can we do about it?
The first thing is to recognize we got a problem. You know, it's like alcoholism. You can't stop it if you don't acknowledge that reality. The second is we need to hold the people who manage the grid accountable for taking the steps they know how to take to fix it. Now, look, I have a certain sympathy for them. First of all, they do an enormously important job. They supply that power that we need with reliability every single day. So thanks God for that. But they're very averse to fiddling with their system. It works pretty darn well most of the time, and they don't want to fiddle with it lest they break it and not be able to figure out how to get it back to a reliable state. Unfortunately, that's not something that we can continue to indulge in. So, Janine, the good news is there are some people who have taken some very creative steps. For example, a utility down in Houston, Texas, called CenterPoint, has teamed up with one of the most important manufacturers in this space, Siemens, a German company, but it's got a large operation here, to provide for about $500,000, the kit that is needed to harden, as they call it,
harden the
transformer
grid.
Substations. Transformer substations,
Frank,
which are the backbone and key piece of it.
But Frank, who is in charge? Who is responsible for the grid? Is it in every state? Is it a federal issue, a statewide issue? You're talking about Texas.
Well, this is one of the features of grid down, power up, is the observation that nobody's in charge. Nobody has the exclusive responsibility nationwide to assure that the grid is made resilient. And that's been a key problem. You know, there are lots of public utilities and, what do they call them? The PUCs. Organizations that are responsible for setting rates and those sorts of things, public utility commission is the word I was looking for. There are lots of people at the Department of Energy. There are lots of people in other, areas of the government whose responsibilities touch on this. But the truth of the matter is everybody's responsibilities are going to be impacted if the grid goes down. And there isn't some single person who says, we can't to let that happen. And here's what we're going to do to assure that it doesn't.
But is it a state or a federal issue, Frank Gaffney?
Well, that's part of the problem. Everybody can point to somebody else. You know, the Defense Department has been terribly remiss. They've hardened the things that matter to them, their communication systems, their nuclear weapons and the like. But they point to the Department of Energy and say, well, the civilian grid isn't our problem. That's problem. The civilians at the Energy Department point to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. They say, well, they're the guys who regulate this thing. The guys at the FERC, as it's called, point to people at the NERC, which is an energy industry operation. I mean, everybody's pointing at somebody else. Nobody's getting this done. The point of this film, Grid Down, Power Up, and I think it's griddownpowerup.com, you can get the trailer. It's going to be rolling out here very shortly, is that this is not a tolerable situation. We need the president, and you know, the president that you and I admired so much, Donald Trump, did more in his time than any previous president to try to get his hands around this thing, but it wasn't enough, and he ran out of time, sadly. We need this president on his watch to make sure that this yawning vulnerability doesn't persist, because, you know, Judge, you're a lawyer. The term attractive nuisance is applied to things like swimming pools that don't have fences. Kids drown in them, right? This is the ultimate attractive nuisance. It makes everybody think they could take a shot at us and take us down as long as it's a persistent vulnerability. It doesn't
and
have
take
to be
us
the
down.
Costs are manageable.
Let's just describe. But Frank Gaffney, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. And I also want to thank you, Frank, on a personal note, for getting me involved in this 10 years ago. And it is so frustrating to find out that here we are 10 years later, we haven't made a lot of progress. You know what? And I'm worried about this administration doing anything. But in the meantime, Frank, where is your do you have a radio show or a blog? What do you have going on this?
Well, I actually have a daily television program now, Janine. We haven't talked about this in a while at Real America's Voice. It airs at 11 p.m. Eastern time on weekdays and then several times over the weekend. We do a radio show with it as well, and we do a daily commentary. And people can find out more about all of that at SecureAmerica.tv and SecureAmerica.tv. And also, I would really commend to them our grid source, which is SecureTheGrid.com. It's a fantastic.
You got it, Frank Gaffney. Thanks
shop.
So much. All right.
Thanks,
being with us, Frank Gaffney. You've opened our eyes. All right. Up next on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation, we're going to be hearing from another guest. But never forget, that's a commitment we made on 9/11. Honor it by donating $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at T2T.org. That's T2.org.
And now, Janine Pirro sounds off.
So now Joe Biden is talking about money in the stimulus to fight crime. That's a good thing, isn't it?
More after this. And now, Janine Pirro sounds off.
Of course it's a good thing. But here's the thing. He didn't talk about it until he gets to the point where he knows he's losing. Now he wants to fund cops. He's basically saying, take the money out of the money I already gave you. No, the money is targeted for different things. Now he's saying, oh, just erase the lines and spend it on the cops. That's not how it's done, Joe. And trying to make yourself out to be a hero in fighting crime because you're everything but.
Keep listening for more entertaining and informative opinions from Judge Janine Pirro. This is the Judge Janine Show. Now, here's Judge Janine Pirro.
Welcome back to the Judge Janine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining us now is the host of Lawrence Jones Cross County on Fox News. Please join me in welcoming the great Lawrence Jones to the Judge Janine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. And if you don't know Lawrence Jones, let me tell you a little bit about him. He serves as a host of his own show Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox News. He's also an enterprise reporter for Fox and Friends weekdays and the weekend franchise. The guy never sleeps. He's always moving. I didn't know this. You are the youngest black solo host of a program in cable news. Well, I got to tell you, folks, Lawrence Jones, or known to his friends as LJ, is one of the coolest people you're ever going to meet, with a great moral core, and that's why we've got him on. He's a native of Garland, Texas, attended the University of North Texas, where he studied criminal justice. All right. How are you today, Lawrence?
Hey, Judge. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to give them my whole bio.
I only read a third of it. But you move around a lot, Lawrence. Where are you going? Where'd you just come from? You're always traveling for Fox.
Yeah, just got back from Alabama. Was on a military base blowing some stuff up with the people that keep us safe in ATF. So, we got a lot going on, Jeff.
Well, you do, and you have a great record of dealing with the families of those who've been injured and victimized and killed as a result of the outrageous crime going on in our country. But I want to start with you, Lawrence, on the issue of crime. You know, when you go and you talk to the families of crime victims, do they ever talk to you about the system and making the system better, or are they usually just so shocked with what's happened to their loved one? I mean, what do they want, these families?
You know, Judge, you know, I have the difficult job of going many times when I arrive at the scene, you know, it's not good news. Something has happened. Someone has died, you know, many kids, you know, and before these families will even do the interviews, you know, they normally plan on doing it, but they break down. So I end up helping them plan the funerals and things like that. But one of the things that I continue to hear is that the criminal justice system does not listen to the victims. You know, all these reforms. And look, Judge, you know, I started working in the criminal justice system when I was 17 years old in juvenile court, being an advocate for young people to help them turn their life around.
No
the problem
kidding.
Is many. Yeah, that was my first job. It was in juvenile court. And, you know, the key word is reform. The people that they're allowing back on the street have not reformed their lives. They're still a danger to society. And I think the criminal justice system has gone in the wrong direction. And as a result of that, I think the American public are going to be less likely to go with these reforms now because it's just out of control. They want to empty the jails, Judge.
Mm-hmm. You know, the whole concept, Lawrence, of emptying the jails, I mean, it is foreign to, you know, those of us who, you know, you've been involved in the system for a long time. And for me, it's over three decades. I mean, you know, there are certain perimeters, you know, you violate the law, you know, you have to be accountable for it and you have to be punished. Mm-hmm. And suddenly there is this movement afoot by I don't know who these people are who think that, you know, it's more important to worry about the criminal than the victim. And I don't know how they have appealed to legislatures around the country to eliminate cash bail. I get the issue that some people are held on bail when they shouldn't be. I get that. I really do. But at the same time, there's got to be some recognition that you keep bailing someone over and over again, they keep committing crimes, then, you know, shame on us.
You know, Judge, the best I can highlight this is what happened with Dave Chappelle on the stage. You got Gascon that refused to go after this guy. And now we just got breaking news. Mm-hmm. You got breaking news of this same guy that charged the stage with a fake gun and with a knife wrapped around him and another knife in the back pocket, stabbed his roommate. So now they want to charge him. And I'm like, you know, guys, when these people do these violent acts, you think it's the first time they did this?
Oh, I love you, Lawrence. You know, this is my mantra.
It's not the first time. And we see this across the country. You know, just because you live in a rich neighborhood or a safe community, you think you can be. I mean, there was a carjacking right in Dallas, Texas. I moved back home just the other day, 2 weeks ago. Got four kids, jacked the Uber Eats driver, and nothing was done about it. They ran away. They didn't catch the kids. But it's a repeated cycle. And until we become the loud voice, because you ask, how does this happen? Well, the activists are the loudest voices. The victims aren't loud enough. We aren't loud enough. We're allowing them because we're working. We're just by our just trying to survive this the country now. And they're loud. And they had a concerted effort through George Soros to elect these DAs. So their message is being heard. Ours isn't.
That's so true. That is so true, Lawrence. You know, I remember once bringing a little red wagon with like 21,000 signatures or something on the, I don't know at the time, I think it had to do with pedophiles and being able to keep them in prison after they served their time, if they were, you know, unredeemable in the sense that, you know, they were a danger to society. And, you know, then we were heard because parents were angry. Kids were being victimized, sexually abused by these dirtbags who go out there and try to have sex with children and never, never lose that desire. But the pendulum has swung, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that not only are they louder, Lawrence, I think there's another piece to it. I think they're louder, and then they turn around and accuse people who want to have, you know, law and order and justice. They accuse us of being racist, and that, like, shuts down the conversation. So it's not just about who's loud, and I agree with you, the left is loud, but then they turn around and everybody gets kind of afraid to say anything. But it's like Elon Musk with Twitter. You know, yeah, he's definitely a racist. He's a racist. Well, we know he's not a racist. I mean, he come up with his background and what he's done for African Americans. The guy is not a racist. But it's it's a shame that they have been able to do it to us.
You know, Judge, and probably for obvious reasons, I would not allow the left to disarm me. I mean, I have lived the American dream. And, you know, when Sonny Hostin got on TV and said, you know, and talked about the dichotomy of it being an oxymoron to be a black Republican or a black conservative, I went straight back at her. And, you know, I'm not going to be afraid of the left and their council culture and their way of doing business. I'm not afraid. I'm just not afraid. I got too much street cred. I grew up poor. My family worked very hard for me to get to where I am today, and I worked hard. And I'm going to go and try to help as many people as I can back in my community. And the policies of the left just isn't helping us. And so I will dedicate my life to exposing them for everything that they are. And part of the reason why they've been so successful is because they shut down debate. But we allow them to shut down debate. We allow them to counsel us. Well, you know what? F it. F it. I'm sorry. F it. We're done with it. We're done with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know what? I love your passion, Lawrence. I mean, the idea that we do allow them to shut us down it's reminiscent of with radical extremism, you know, when there was a bout of it as it related to a Muslim extremists. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a Muslim. I mean, that's not the problem. It's the extremists who make it a political party. And then they say, oh, you know what? You're an Islamophobe. No, I'm not. I'm against people who believe they should cut your head off because you're Christian. You're the ergo, you're an infidel. You know, it's this same leftist philosophy. We can shut these people down by saying they're a racist. And, you know, for a while we get shut down. The same thing with parents and the school teachers. For a while, the parents shut up. The school teachers were saying, we're not your babysitters. We're not going to work. They get paid. You know, they go to bars. They go to Home Depot. But, hell, they don't want to go to school with your kids who can't give them COVID. So, you know, finally the parents say, hey, enough of this crap. Get your butts in school. Or, you know what? And then they call the parents a domestic terrorist. It's the name calling. They are expert at it, Lawrence.
You know what? They're expert at it. You know what? It's because we won't unite. I mean, the numbers just isn't on their side. You know, there's all this defund the police thing. I did a monologue on this about 2 weeks ago. Do you know, Judge, there are more white people that want to defund the police than there are black people?
I agree with that.
So where did this whole social justice thing come from? Well, they're fueling this. It wasn't black people that were funding Black Lives Matter. It was the rich corporations that felt like they needed to pay some type of tax and advocating for stuff that Black America wasn't advocating for. It's insane. But again, it goes back to those small voices being so loud, those small few being so loud. You know, I think we got to start highlighting the facts, but we also have to get louder. That is the key.
Yep, I agree. And, you know, it is so amazing that, you know, for the longest time, we remain quiet. And look at this abortion thing going on outside the Supreme Court justices' homes. You know what? That Merrick Garland, the attorney general, Joe Biden, they have got no problem with it. It's against the federal law. You can be incarcerated for up to a year. And they don't even want to fund a bill that would protect that the Supreme Court justices and their staff. And he's a former federal judge.
He's a former federal judge doing nothing to protect judges. You know, Judge, I continue to say this. I am not against protests, but the whole point of protest is to sway opinion. You're not allowed to do that with a judge. So are we going to allow people to protest murder cases? Okay, can we do that now? Can we start protesting when we don't like the verdict in a murder case or a rape case or anything? Are we going to allow offenders to do that as well? Because that's the standard that they're setting right now.
That's a great question. You have juries now that are not being sequestered. When I was a judge, I used to sequester jurors all the time. Now they're going home. Now the left, should they go there and protest outside their home so that a normal American is scared to death and saying, you know, I'm afraid for my family?
Yeah. Why not? Why not? I mean, if they can do it at the highest court in the land, why not do it on some of these district court cases or local cases?
Local cases was where most of the crime is being prosecuted. You know that in this country.
Yep.
And I guess finally, Lawrence, I mean, you know, the whole thing with gas, and you're from Texas. You know, I know they have oil rigs in Texas. I mean, you know, for years I was seeing someone from Texas, and, you know, that's a way of life down there. And Joe Biden comes in and says, you know what, not anymore. And yet you've got this the Secretary of Energy, Elizabeth Granholm. She's the one who said, oh, what did I if I had a magic wand? And it's all Putin's fault. Well, Putin just showed up, you fool.
It's nonsense. And they did this on day one. Judge, I've been able to see this from multiple angles. First of all, I saw it because, you know, my home state of Texas, we produce a lot of oil. So I know people that have been impacted just with their job, those people that work on those, you know, on those rigs. So I've seen it for that angle. Number two, I've seen it because I just recently moved back from New York to Texas. And so I have to get a car and I'm paying over $100 to fill up my tank. And I'm like, this is crazy. I didn't have to pay this much money for gas. And then the third avenue that I'm seeing it is that I travel around the country talking with average day people. I was just talking to a mom the other day that was saying that she was having to make the decision. Does she save money for her gas bill or does she eat? I mean, that is in Pennsylvania.
You know what, Lawrence? It doesn't break my heart. It infuriates me. Infuriates me. You know, it's just like the baby formula. You got pallets at the border. Oh, we have to take care of them. That's the law. Oh, you don't have to take care of American children? Do you know how many friends I have with babies and grandchildren? I'm like the contact now. Everybody's calling me to get baby formula because I know this one and I know that one. I'm trying to get them for my own daughter. Can't get baby formula. This is America. They're taking us right to Venezuela. And I said this years ago with that crazy Bernie Sanders. It's just a question of time before they take us to Venezuela and take us down. But anyway, I know that your time is valuable, Lawrence, and I love having you on. I love chatting with you. You are the best, and I want everyone to watch Lawrence's show. As you know, I'm not on Saturday night, but Lawrence is, and he is a great watch and a man that you gotta watch, everybody. He is a superstar. Right, Lawrence?
Stop, Judge. I'm honored to be with you today.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to have you on, Lawrence. We love you. Take care. And thank you. And keep that moral core right where it is, okay?
I'm right there. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, too.
And now, Jeanine Pirro sounds off.
So the new governor in New York, Kathy Hochul, she issued a statement patting herself on the back. "We got a lot done," goes the quote, "on violent crime, despite the ongoing surge."
More after this. And now, Jeanine Pirro sounds off.
Despite the ongoing surge, you got a lot done. If you got a lot done, why is there an ongoing surge? First of all, you didn't get anything done. You believe in letting people out with no bail. You believe in making sure that Andrea Stewart Cousins and Carl Heastie and you are the ones who are protecting people when you're the ones who are signing their death warrants by not putting criminals in jail. Shame on you and stop lying.
Keep listening for more entertaining and informative opinions from Judge Jeanine Pirro. And now, Jeanine Pirro sounds off.
We found out that the Supreme Court is likely to overturn Roe versus Wade. Pro-choicers are upset. They don't like that it will ultimately go to the people in the states.
More after this. And now, Jeanine Pirro sounds off.
The pro-choicers are so upset that they are trashing the Catholic faith, the Christian faith. They are protesting in front of the homes of the justices, which is a federal crime. But do you think anyone in the federal government, including Merrick Garland, who's a political hack, do you think any of them will follow the law and make arrests? No, of course not. They don't care about the law. A hex on all of them.
Keep listening for more entertaining and informative opinions from Judge Jeanine Pirro. This is the Judge Jeanine Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
All right, we had some great guests today. Frank Gaffney on the power grid, the electric grid. He knows a lot about it. And I'm going to look up that video we talked about, Grid Down, Power Up with Dennis Quaid. And, of course, Lawrence Jones, one of my favorites at Fox. He's a great guy. Look, America is a great country. We can keep it great. Lawrence is right. We've just got to be as loud as the left, and we've got to stand tall and stand together. You know, when a delusional Nancy Pelosi says everything is awesome in Joe Biden's America, and she insists that Americans want Democrats to win in November and has every intention of keeping the House despite the dismal polls, despite all of the numbers showing otherwise, I say to myself, you know what? You better not have anything up your sleeve, Nancy, because this is America. We've had enough of this leftist progressive nonsense. It's time for us to get out there and vote. You can change this country. You can change your life and change America. We're not Venezuela. We're not going to be Venezuela. Get out there, do the patriotic thing, and get out and vote in November.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.